Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. We've been teaching a series on sonship, and again, I mentioned to you ladies, just because we say sonship does not mean that we're only speaking about dudes. Just so you know. So when you hear sonship, what you need to think is daughters. I use the word sonship because that's simply what the text in the New Testament uses. So the word says, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, that the son, the plan of the father was for the son to bring many sons into glory. So it's not just talking about dudes, it's talking about his offspring, his family members. And there's a certain way that sons and daughters act that those that are not in the family do not act. Did I say that right? Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I'm going to just tell you right now, I'm going to say some things in this series that some people won't like. I don't care. Because we're either going to be people of the Word or we're not. Let me rephrase that. We're either going to be people of the Spirit-revealed Word or we're not. Right? I mean, I can make any scripture in this is a Bible, by the way. In this Bible, I got the thin line version. Say anything I want to. But the fact is, if it doesn't have the breath of the Spirit of God on it, it's not what it says. Amen. So we need to make sure, you know, I even said this on our website as far as, you know, most people have it as the what we believe section. I forget what we call it. We call it something else. But we do believe that the Word of God is an inspired Word of God, but we believe that the Word of God is, as long as it's breathed upon by the Spirit of God, then it is the inspired Word of God. I made this statement before some years ago. I'm sure I've said it before, but I stood up in front of the folks one Sunday morning and I held up my Bible. Now, everybody make sure you listen to everything I say, not just the first thing I say. I held up my Bible and I said, what did I say? I asked him if this was the truth. And of course, every good Christian says, oh yeah. And I said, that's not correct. Because the truth is a person. 1 John says the Spirit is the truth. Right? So we have to have the Spirit's insight in verses for it to be the truth. Because people take this and they slice and dice females, they slice and dice each other, they slice and dice anybody they don't agree with. If you don't believe that, just go on the internet for 5 minutes. So it has to have the breath of the Spirit of God on it. We are not independent of the revelatory ministry of the Spirit of God in understanding what the words in this book says. Right. If you believe that, say amen. If you don't, well, just go home and say, oh me. But we have to have the Spirit of God's revelation, His ministry, for us, for this to be the truth, because the truth set people free. If it's not the truth, it puts people in bondage. You can take verses out of this book and put people in bondage, and that's a telltale sign that that wasn't the truth, because it just put them in more bondage than they were before. So it's important that as kingdom people, we understand that there's not a word on this, in this book, that is void of or can be interpreted separate from the mind of your daddy via the Spirit of God, who is the truth. Right? Okay. So, Hebrews chapter 1 says this. We're speaking about sonship. It says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, He's spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, and through whom He also made the world. So we understand that the contrast in the beginning part of the letter to the Hebrews was He's tying in the eternal one who is the Son. We call Him the second member of the Godhead, who was before the foundation of the world over here, with the man that came into the earth, went to the cross, and as the verse says in verse 3, paid as He made the purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then it says, having become much better than the angels. When did He become much better than the angels? And when did He inherit a more excellent name? When He paid the price for sin and sat down. Did He do that as a spirit or did He do that as a man? As a man. As the Son of Man. Also being the Son of God. And I know I've said it like this before. I love this because as the Eternal One, all power belongs to Him. Over here before the foundation of the world. Then He came into the earth as a man. And after He raised from the dead and paid the lien that was against the human race, He said, all authority has been given to me. So basically what Jesus did as the Eternal One, He already had all the power that is God. And as coming into the earth as man, paying the price, the lien against the human race, being raised from the dead, He basically got both title belts. All power is His as the Eternal One, and all authority belongs to Him being the Son of Man. Put them together. On that foundation, He turned into His disciples and all of those that would believe according to their word and said, go therefore. So everything that we do in the earth is on the foundation of being a son and having that authority and also the power, because it's all sewed up in Him. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So in Hebrews chapter 1 here, He said in the last days He's spoken to us in His Son. And again, I said this, that the Greek New Testament actually makes sure that you understand that this is a very clear, articulated language. It is not just open for your own interpretation as to who the Son is. It's very specific. He spoke to us in His Son. And then it says, in verse 3, He's the radiance of His glory, and He is the exact representation of His nature. He's the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And I told you this, and we're going to go there in a second. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When Elohim, when God said, let us, Elohim is plural, so He's speaking on behalf of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. He might as well have used this language and said, let's make man in the radiance of our glory and in the exact representation of our nature. Because he's speaking about the same thing. Now I'm going to get into some things today that I want you to listen very, 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 very closely. Because we need to get the mind of Daddy as we live life. Otherwise, the best you're doing is walking in somebody else's mind. And frankly, it's just not going to produce the life of God. Okay, so as my wife would say to her preschool class, not that you're preschoolers, but everybody has their listening ears on. You know, she also says crisscross applesauce, but I'm not going to say that because I can be uncomfortable sitting between the rows. Anyway, in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he made the world. He's the radiance of his glory and the exact. Everybody say exact.
Exact.
He's the exact representation of his nature. In other words, folks, Jesus is perfect theology. If you don't see it in the ministry of Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, then it ain't Father. I'm serious about that because we have so many stupid debates with the leg debating with the arm what the nature of the head is. If you live connected, you don't have that debate because you already know. Jesus was one who lived connected, and he says, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. And even when Philip said, look, dude, just show us the Father and it'll be good enough for us. And Jesus looked at him, and essentially in the Greek, he said this. Do you mean to tell me that I've been with you for 3.5 years, and you think there's a version of the Father that I haven't shown you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and from this point forward, whenever you see me, you'll be seeing the Father. That's what he said to him. He could have that same conversation with the rest of some of his body today. You mean to tell me that I gave you a demonstration in the letters through Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, and you still don't know who the Father is? So Father spoke to us very specifically through his Son. And again, we told you last week, I think it was last week, we looked at the Transfiguration. We had a representation of the prophets there and a representation of the law there, and Jesus was there, and Peter got freaked out, lost his mind, and said he had to say something. And so he said something, and then the Father interrupted him and said, enclosed him with a cloud, in a cloud, and said, this is my Son, listen to him. And everybody else disappeared. Except Jesus. How much more clear do we have to be? You won't find Father in law. You won't find Father in... He's speaking to us through his Son. The prophetic, Jesus told the religious leaders, you look in scriptures and you value the scriptures and you uphold the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but they're merely designed to lead you into an experience with me. And I heard a man say this one time, and at least I rock our Christian boat. How many books of the New Testament did the Book of Acts Church have? Oops. So why is it that we exalt a print over the person of the Spirit of God? We exalt a print over the person. We exalt a print that they didn't have over the person that they did have. Now, granted, unless you get off in the ditch in that, you can't interpret the print without the person. Because you'll be wrong. So we need both. He gave us both. But we ought to spend our time cultivating our fellowship with the person, because all the print is designed to do is to bring us into a real experiential interaction with the person. I heard somebody say this, and you've heard somebody say this too, and I want to deal with this issue. Because going back to one of my original statements, folks, we've got to get on the right page on this deal. And if you can do this, just for 30 minutes, lay your brain, stick it over here in the seat next to you. Because you got to get something out of your spirit on this deal so we can think like Daddy. Okay? Hebrews 1:3 says, He's the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You ready to get something today?
Yep. Amen.
Genesis 1:26, we know these verses, but I'll just so you can see them in your print. And God said, Elohim, plural, all three of them, they're all talking together. Let us make man in our image. Everybody say image.
Amen.
After our likeness. Everybody say likeness. And then it says, let him rule over the fish of the sea, or the birds of the sky, or the cattle over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And so in verse 27, God, Elohim, the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Spirit, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Notice it just repeated the word image. Now, I heard somebody say this. Well, I'm made in the image of God. I'm not broken. Because I'm made in the image of God. Now, I want you to get something from the Spirit of God. How many are tired of thinking on the same ridiculous circles that man goes on? How about a new thought? And this applies to every human being that's breathing, whether they're natural men or whether they're the new man, the new creation man. It applies to both. Is a natural man made in the image of God? Yes. But He didn't just make him in the image of God, He made him after His likeness also. You say, what's the difference? The image is the outward representation. The likeness is the actions. He made him both. Someone may be in the image of God, but they're not after His likeness because they're not thinking like Him. They're not acting like Him. The likeness was what's on the inside, the image what's on the outside. So let me show you this. Really, the Hebrew word there for likeness in verse 26 is really the picture of something in motion. And it's something in motion that's, have you ever heard somebody say, well, that's just kind of their signature way, or that's kind of their signature look, or that's their signature, that's just their signature actions. It's just that you connect something with somebody. It's just their signature. Well, that's really what this, in the Hebrew, that's really what this word is speaking of. It's an activity, an outward action that's just pinned connected to someone. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they made man in their image, but they also intended for that image to be in their likeness. Look like them, speak like them, act like them, produce results like them. Everything was, they were tied together. It's a package deal. You can't have one, because if the one isn't like the other, then what's the big deal? He never created the temple to be empty. It was designed to be inhabited by his presence. What good would it have done for them to have the Ark of the Covenant and have the cherubim over the Ark of the Covenant and then nothing there? There's nothing connected to it. There's no presence of him connected to that. There came a time when that was the deal. That's why we don't have one here. Because the presence is now, as the new man, because of what Jesus did through the resurrection, the presence is now in you if you've declared him to be who he says he is. Because in turn, then he made you who he said you are. We declare that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead because Romans 4:25 says the reason that Father raised him from the dead was because that was an act that in his declaring that he had made man righteous, that the lien had been paid. So every time you declare that Jesus is Lord, you're simply agreeing with what Father says all the way to the point of him saying that I raised him up because you're now righteous, and you're taking ownership of that. Do you understand that? See, it's not just an issue of, well, I'm supposed to believe that he's Lord, and I'm supposed to believe that he was raised from the dead, so I do. Because I don't like being hot. See, we got to get a little more than that. We got to understand a little more than that. He makes you agree with him. He wants you to agree with him because he also wants you to be agreeing with the fact that of the result of why he was raised. He was raised, Romans 4:25, because you were justified. So when you declare the reason he wants you to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead is not because he wants you to be religious. It's because he wants you to take ownership of what's connected with that raising, which he took, which is he made you, he justified you. So, you know, an individual, and I say this, and I want you to understand, I want you to remember this because, and I don't want you to beat somebody over the head with it because we're going to go some other places with it too. But human beings are always going to say, well, I'm made in the image of God. Yes, you are. Absolutely are. So since you're made in the image of God, why don't you allow him to make you into his likeness? Because the image is only your outward appearance. The likeness is, do you think like him? Would he say what you're saying? Would he do what you're doing? Would he live like you're living? Would he react to things the way you're reacting to things? Because if the answer to any of that is no, then what good is it be to be in his image but not after his likeness? And it's not semantics, folks. I've studied this out. I know what I'm talking about. It is specifically referring to his likeness is his actions. In fact, let me show it to you. Go to John chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to camp on this a little bit because I want you to see this. I don't want you to go away and forget about this. You know what's amazing about the way Daddy thinks is it just blows away all the trash. It blows away all the trash. I heard a guy say this. I don't particularly align myself with this guy. If I said his name, y'all know who he is. But he made this statement, and I felt like Jesus saying, you're not far from the kingdom. He said this, and he ain't a preacher. He said, if you're pro-life like I am, then you need to be pro-life for the whole life. Because people are messy and they make bad choices. I want you to think about that. As a new creation, we are obviously all about the life of God. And we're all about the life of people. So we are for life. But we ought to be for life for the whole life, not just when a little kid is unborn. The Spirit of God told Moses, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. You'll eat the fruit of it. So how is it that, and this is where I just want to blast this whole thing just blast it all. Because folks, we got to start thinking like daddy and stop thinking like a movement. How is it we can say, and I'm not getting off on a tangent, but I am going someplace. How is it we can say we're, quote, pro-life, but then we speak death and we slice and dice everybody else after they come out of the womb? How dumb can you get and still breathe? I'm being serious. How can we say that we're pro-life, but then we speak death out of our mouth against anybody that's breathing, that's past the birth process? How is that possible? Because my Bible says that Jesus, even when he was railed against, he kept his mouth shut. And he entrusted himself to the one who judges righteously. And that's not just mentioned one time. That's mentioned probably three times in your Bible. So it's important that, you know, as quote, sons and ladies, daughters, it's important that we understand, especially us being the new man, we need to not only be in his image, but we also need to be acting according to his likeness. And that's not, that I'm not speaking that and saying, and that's just up for your own interpretation. Because you better get it from here, not from somebody else's head. Because it sounded good. Every human being that's breathing, you're tied to the new covenant. So, Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 14, John says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
See, glory is something that's manifested. It's not something that's hidden in a closet. We talk about the glory of God, and, you know, because we've become Sadducees in our belief system, so many of us, we just think of it as some ethereal thing that we really don't know what it is. And, you know, it's just something that we see in the print in the Old Testament, and we see it in the book of Acts. And, you know, it's just something that it used to be, but it really isn't anymore. If you read your word, you'll find out, even in this letter of the Hebrews, he says that signs and wonders in chapter, I think it's chapter 2, signs and wonders and miracles are actually a demonstration of him, Father, putting all things under our feet. So it's only darkness that's been spewing that crock that signs and wonders, the glory of the Father is no longer today because he just reduced it down to black ink. We just haven't understood the connection between, you know, what is his purpose, why is it, why did he do it? It wasn't just because he wanted to show somebody that Jesus is who he says he is. You mean he doesn't want to do that anymore? I could go all day long on this, but anyway, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father. We beheld the glory from the Father. When we saw Jesus, we saw the glory of the Father. When we saw Jesus, we saw the likeness of the Father. Now let me ask you a question. Is this simply saying that the Father has, just for stereotypical conversation that the father has long hair and a beard? Hey, brother. Is that what we're saying here? That the reason why Jesus is the glory of the Father is because he has, you know, the Father has long hair and a beard. And so Jesus had long hair and a beard, supposedly. Is that what we're saying? No, that's not what we're saying, because it isn't even about his outward appearance at all. In verse 16 it says, "For of his fullness we've received grace upon grace." What's grace? Grace is the presence of him and the working of his power. John is saying time after time after time after time after time after time, we came in contact with the presence of him and the working of his power. The presence of him and the working of his power. The presence of him and the working of his power over and over and over again. In fact, by the time he gets done writing the letter that we call the book of John, he says, if I can't even write all the things that we experience with him, because there's not even enough volumes. Can you imagine in 3.5 years, there's not enough volumes that could be written to record everything that we experience with him. Verse 17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth, the presence of him and the working of his power and truth, which is the spirit of truth, were realized through Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. See, I knew it was just about his looks. No. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Now that phrase in the Greek New Testament is the word that really means he has revealed divine secrets about him. Is he only speaking about his looks? Do you see how we've kind of gotten goofed up on this stuff? We've even herded into ways of thought that aren't even accurate. He has explained him. He's revealed secrets about him that natural man didn't know. Okay, now go to John chapter 3. Verse 34. John 3:34. Look what it says. It says, "For he whom God has sent does what? Speaks the words of God." See, we're talking about the likeness. There's nowhere where Jesus talks about his relationship to Father and he's only speaking about his image. It's not good enough, and it's not the Father's point for man to just stop at, "Well, I'm made in the image of God." Well, praise the Lord. So what happens when the image starts acting like the likeness of God? Whoop, whoop. You ain't seen nothing yet. "For he whom speaks the words of God, for whom God has sent speaks the words of God." Now go over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, look at verse 5. And John chapter 4 goes forever. There it is. John chapter 5 is talking about a man who was lying ill for 38 years, and Jesus saw him laying there. Jesus was laying there, and he saw a guy laying there. And he said, "Hey, do you want to get well?" And the guy said, "Well, I don't have anybody to help me get into the water." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Now, was that an idea or was that an action? That was an action, right? Was it something that was seen by everybody else? Yeah. He didn't just mentally transfer the thought, "Dude, get up, dude, get up." He said something out of his mouth. It was an action. So then the Jews were saying that, "Well, this guy, you cured him on the Sabbath." And then, you know the rest of the story. They asked him who did it. And he said, "Well, the guy that raised me up told me to pick up my pallet and go." And then Jesus was confronted by the Jews in verse 16, the Jewish religious leaders. And it says, for this reason the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. In verse 17, look what Jesus said. My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Is that an idea or is that an action? So we're still talking about the likeness of. Verse 19, Jesus said, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing or being.
Doing.
And whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son, shows him all things that he himself is doing. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son does also. And then verse 26. Just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself, and he gave him authority to execute. Think about what he just said. The Father's given me life. Just as the Father has life in him, I have life in me, and he's also given me authority to execute. That's exactly what all three of them told the first man that was created. Let's make him in our image after our likeness and let him have dominion and subdue. See, the word subdue there is speaking of authority. That's an action. That's not an idea. Jesus was demonstrating as the last Adam what a man looks like in the earth who walks in the image of and the likeness of Daddy. This is what he looks like. What would happen, do you think, if we got this understanding and accurately so from the Father and it actually became something other than just a doctrine we learn in church in a lot of cases? What would happen if we explained to human beings you're made in the image of God? But the likeness of God looks like the ministry of Jesus and the book of Acts. That's the level that you were created to live in. Why, I can't do all that. Exactly. That's because that's why the image of God is not enough. You have to have his nature. He has to give you a nature upgrade, and then he wants to put himself in you and teach you how to walk in his likeness. And that's what it looks like. I wonder what would happen to society if we would communicate the reality of the gospel to people as a picture of what they're supposed to look like. Because the ministry of Jesus and the book of Acts is really the picture of what man looks like when the Holy Spirit's fused together with his spirit. That's the level that man is supposed to function at. And the only reason we don't is because somewhere along the way somebody wasn't experiencing that, so they came up with a doctrine that would help explain why they're not experiencing that. So then all it did was re-perpetuate non-experience, because now we had a reason why we didn't have to. Where's the kingdom? That wasn't a trick question. Where's the kingdom? The kingdom is here. Not here in this room. The kingdom is, it's here now. Jesus came into the earth. What was his message? The kingdom of God is here. Do a 180. Have a change of thought and get over here. And then what did he do? He demonstrated what the kingdom looks like in the lives of men. And then he told the disciples in John 17, as he was praying to Daddy, he said, just as you sent me, I'm sending them. Oh, and not just them, but everybody who believes according to their word. Which would be anybody that's in the kingdom right now, or going to be later on, or has been in the past, but are no longer here, they're with him. So we only have one assignment. It's the assignment of Jesus. It's not the assignment of John. John didn't walk as a son. Did you hear what I just said? John did not walk as a son. He walked as a servant. Jesus walked as a son. Everybody spoke about John and they said, he didn't do one single miracle. But what he said about this guy sure is true. Jesus walked as a son. So signs and a son walks in the authority. Just as the Father has life in himself, so the Son has life in himself also, and he has given him authority to execute. You guys still here?
Yeah.
Verse 36. The works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. See, we're talking about, that's when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was speaking about the actions and what was produced through him. That's why we say Jesus is perfect theology. The Son is perfect theology. I had somebody say this to me. A natural person said this to me. Well, if you've seen, we should be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. We're stuck on the image thing again. The only way, and this goes for, that's why I preface what I've said today, it goes for any human being, I don't care whether you're a natural man or you're the new creation man, it goes for both, because at the minute you start walking in your head, then you can't say, if you've seen me, you've seen Father, because you're not walking in his mind, you're walking in yours. We don't have near the flexibility we thought we had. Because if the Son says, this is how a son acts, the Son does what Daddy wants. I don't speak on my own initiative, I speak what he tells me to speak. Now I know we have a lot of folks that say that. Well, I just said what God told me to speak. Did it create life? Then it wasn't what he said then. It didn't come from him, so stop trying to be spiritual. Because what he says, because he's full of life, it produces life. I'm not trying to come down on anybody, folks, but we need to quit playing religious and start getting real. Because people out there are starving for the reality of Jesus. And they don't want some religious trumped up version of him. They want the real him. Because he is breathing, right? We say he is. We say he's alive. So if he's alive, then they ought to be hearing him speak to them. And he should be able to speak to them because the Spirit of God, through Paul, said that the reason he gave us his Spirit is that we might freely know those things that are given to us. In fact, the only person that knows the mind of the Father is the Spirit. So he gave the one who knows his mind, he gave it to you, put it in you, so that you would know at all times what's in Father's mind. So when Jesus said, I speak what the Father shows me, he was simply saying, whatever's in the Father's mind at any given time, that's what I say. But understand, the end result of that will always be to produce life. Because as there's life in the Father, there's also life in me. As he raises the dead, so do I. See, look at verse 43. I'm not even going to get to half my notes. Oh well, we'll pick up the rest of it next week. Verse 43. See, here's the determining factor. I don't care whether you're a natural man. When I say natural man, I'm saying those that have not come into the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God is not on the inside of you, you have not received the nature upgrade. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All those that are in Christ are a new creation, all things have passed away, all things become new. That's speaking about the nature upgrade. He gave you a nature upgrade. When your computer's acting like you want to throw it in the trash, you probably just need upgrade. There are things that natural man cannot do that the new man is supposed to be doing because Jesus bought and paid for the right for you to live there. His ministry and the book of Acts are a picture of what that looks like. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Because that's how a son or daughter looks. If you don't believe that, go to Galatians chapter 3. Paul says, the Spirit is constantly working miracles among you. In the Greek New Testament, it's a present tense, ongoing thing. It wasn't every 4 or 5 years we see the God move. He said he's constantly working miracles among you. And then the next chapter, in chapter 4, I think it's verse 7 right in there, he says he called them sons. The signature of a son or a daughter is the demonstration, the execution of the authority that comes from Daddy. We call it signs and wonders and miracles. Because the kingdom is now. The Father is now. Jesus the King is now. He's on his throne now. At some point, all the kingdoms of the world have to bow their knee, and all those kingdoms will become the kingdoms of our God in Christ. We know that. But it's not just for later. It's everything is now. Jesus didn't go to the cross, be raised from the dead, and then say, okay, well, let's put this puppy on hold for a couple thousand years. I think we can stand it, can't you? That isn't what he did. Even when he was in the earth, he said, the kingdom is here. He didn't leave. It's just absolutely secure now. So listen, look what he says here in verse 43. Because this is really the issue between a human being. You might be made in the image of God, but whether or not you're walking in the likeness of God is... Verse 43, Jesus said this. Verse 41, he said, I don't receive glory from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God yourself. And then in verse 43, he says, I have come in my Father's name. What does that mean? Whatever is in Father's mind, that's what I do. If in my time with him, he would say this, or he's saying this right now, I say that. Because I'm always about my Father's business, present tense, continuously. Whatever I see him doing, that's what I'm doing. So that's, he calls that coming in the Father's name. But then he goes on to say, you don't receive me. But he said, if another comes in his own name, you receive him. So here's the choice of our lifestyles, in our words, in our thinking, in our demonstration. Are we going to come in the Father's name, or are we going to come in our own? Because I'm telling you, folks, we got a whole lot of folks that are in the kingdom. They're made in the image of him, but they ain't walking in the likeness of him. Because they're not saying what Father would say. They're not seeing what Father would see. They're only seeing what they want to see. They're not treating people around them like Father would treat them. They're not raising people up like Father would raise them up. They're not ministering the kingdom to people like Father would minister the kingdom. They're completely detached from anything Father would do in a situation. Because they're only coming in their own name. Anytime we get caught in this whole thing of, well, I just believe. You might as well just say, I'm coming in my own name. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what I believe. Only thing I care about is what does Daddy believe? Because that's the only thing that's right, because he's the only one, he's got the good vantage point. So I want to change what I believe and how I say things and how I respond to people and how I treat people and what I do in situations. You know, we've been great at becoming Christian hermits. We want to be over here, and we're going to let you guys be over there. And, you know, you're not one of us, so we're going to have our own music and our own everything. You know, and I'm not against us having things that, you know, are Christian in their foundation. But we're not called to get in the world and hide out. We're called to get in the world and bring the kingdom. And the kingdom looks like the book of Acts. At least we try to make up our own version. Do you think the government in Jesus' day was any worse? Or let me put it this way. Do you think anything, regardless of what perspective you have about today, do you think anything in his day was better than now? got to be kidding me. You're kidding. You need to go back and go read Roman history. It was a lot worse then. But Jesus knew what his mission was. He knew what his assignment was. He didn't get pulled off of that. And he knew that my job is to bring the kingdom. So I'm going to bring the kingdom. Because I'm a son. And this is how sons act. Because when I came into the earth, I didn't just come in as the image of God. I came in as his likeness. So my job is to reveal and display divine secrets of how my Father thinks, how he acts, what he says, and what he's about. And then he gave that assignment to us. Well, I guess I'm done. I'll get into the rest of it next week, which there's a whole lot. It's pretty cool. Did you guys get anything out of this? So let's encourage folks. Next time you see somebody say, I'm made in the image of God, praise the Lord. You want to get upgraded. Because you were created to have the likeness of him in you too. And that's going to take you to a whole nother level. Y'all here this morning? Talking about changing the way we communicate. There's some people out there in the world that are not even in the kingdom, but they could tell you the gospel according to what we've spewed better than somebody who's in the church. You know why? Because that's all they ever hear. The same two verses. The same three verses. Completely taken out of context. If you want to know what I mean, go home and read them. We've got to become masters of communicating by the Spirit of God new ways to communicate the reality of what we have. I'm going to show you something next week. You can't get any more clear than this verse that Peter wrote. But yet, I was raised in church my whole life, and not one single time ever did I ever hear anybody explain to me the reason why Daddy wants you to be born again. Was because of this. Not one time. But how many know Jesus is not complicated? Father's not complicated. Sonship's not complicated. A son, a daughter looks and acts, says, speaks, acts a certain way. There isn't any other way. It's not up for interpretation any more than who Father really is. Based on what Jesus displayed, is up for interpretation. And quite frankly, the sooner we get on this understanding, the more impact we're going to have on behalf of Daddy. And that's really the only one I care about. Amen? When I stand before my Daddy, I want him to say, well done. Not, well, you're done. Oh, gosh. Where's one of them fig leaves, man? I gotta hide my face. Everybody stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for not only making us into your image, but we thank you for making us into your likeness. Because you're on the inside of us. You gave us a nature upgrade. You put your Spirit in there. You gave us a new hard drive and new software. And you gave us the ability to bring Jesus in high definition. Three dimension, high definition. We thank you for that. I speak to everybody in this room, and I declare that you are sons and daughters of the living God, and he is living. And I speak against anything that was ever spoken over your life that has brought you damage. I speak to those words and I tell you, you're cursed and you'll have no effect on their life. And I command you to fall off right now in the name of Jesus. Because Daddy says otherwise. Father, raise them up. Make yourself be such a reality to them, they don't want anything else. All they want is Abba, Father. And then we'll begin to live, move, and have our being in you. So you can have fun and live, move, and have your being in us. We thank you for what's in your heart for this church. And I thank you for the facilities, the equipment, anything that we would need. It already belongs to us, Father, and we just thank you that you'll bring it across our path. You go before us and level our mountains, make the crooked places straight. And I declare that over these guys in their life, too. Because all that belongs to you belongs to them. And everybody agree with that prayer saying, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.